Now we are in lesson two of this short series concerning the Word of God, the Word of God. Now we know, students, from Genesis 1:26, a marvelous chapter, the first chapter of Genesis. The Bible begins so wonderfully, the Bible ends so wonderfully, and then everything between the first chapter and the last chapter of Revelation, you know what it is? It's wonderful. And we're so glad that we can, you know, it's no book in the world can be studied forever and never come to a conclusion. And we're so thankful that the Word of God is in our presence today and that we're studying the Word of God. But from Genesis 1:26, we know that God chose to create us in His image. Now, He has an image, and He took that image and put that image in us. And that image is revealed in the fact that we are creatures of Word. And we all operate by Word. And without Word, nothing happens. You know, you can just sit around and be silent, but when Word is expressed, things happen. And God is Word. And therefore, His sons and daughters are Word, and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, is the ultimate Word by which we're told all things consist. That just boggles the mind to think about every atom, every cell, every molecule is held together by the Word of God. And that Word of God is who? Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, chapter 1 of the Gospel of John most clearly reveals to us this truth, for in it we are to learn of the Word and deity, the Word and creation, the Word and life, the Word and the world, the Word and men, the Word incarnate, and the Word revealing. Now, in our first lesson last week, we found that Word and deity are inextricably one. And that fusion is one which always produces action. You know, Isaiah said it clearly for us to show us that Word produces action. For Isaiah 55:11 says that whenever the Word of God goes forth, it always accomplishes its purpose. Now, you think about that, parents. When your Word goes forth to your children, does it always accomplish purpose? It's supposed to. You're made in the image of God, and God's Word accomplishes purpose, and therefore your Word should accomplish purpose. Your Word should not be just babbling. You know, sometimes parents are like that. The words flow out, and the child is mind-boggled. Children don't need a lot of words. They need quick commands and orders because they're simple creatures. And words ought to accomplish a purpose. And God's Word never fails. It never returns void, we're told, and it always prospers. God speaks, and it is done. His Word never returns to Him with apologies for failure. It never comes back and says, Lord, I couldn't do what You told me to do. It never does that. God's Word always accomplishes His purpose. And if by faith you have bowed your knee to God, you know what a humbling act that is to first bow your knee to God. You realize that you're a sinner, that you're lost, that you're undone, you have nothing to offer God. And the best thing you can do is get on your knees and bow to God and humbly ask for help. You know, and that's what a sinner should do. A sinner should realize that they have nothing. And all they can do is bow before God. And if by faith you have bowed your knee to God, desiring to be in His family, God will bring you into this conformance, whereby you and your Word are one, and it will accomplish that for which you sent it. Back to child rearing. commanding your children and expecting things to happen is to be the norm, because that's in the image of God. When God speaks, it is done. When you speak, it should be done, because that is in the image of God. Now, we covered the second connection regarding the Word and creation given in verses 2 and 3. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, notice that word couplet, all things. Any wiggle room in there? Any apart from God's creation in there? No, all things. The universe, the elements, the system of laws, all living things, all of God's angels, the heavenly beings, heaven, hell, good and evil, all things were accomplished by His Word. You know, God has made all things and has made us to make all things we need. We're makers. For this simply follows His edict that we be made in His image. God is a maker. God is a making God. As I said, God sends forth His words and things are made. And our word ought to go forth and things are made. His children are makers from that which He makes and provides, and it all begins with word. We begin, but did not finish our third connection, that of the word and life, verses 4, 5, and 9. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life. He is life. Without Him, there is not life. And in that life was the light of men. Now, we found that life was a principle of God. It has as its source and full embodiment the Logos, or Word. Word brings forth life. God speaks and life comes forth. You know, life is self-existent in the Creator, but He reserves that to Himself, for the creature has no such power to bring forth life. The life described now in verse 4 is not the life we are born into this world with, for John 5:24 tells us, whosoever hears God's word and believes on Him enters into what is called everlasting life and is passed from death unto life. So that's the kind of life that God is talking about here. The life that He creates in you, and a man or woman without this word-begotten life is simply walking dead. That's the condition of the sinner, walking dead. We call it dead in trespasses and sins, but it is indeed death. That's not the life of verse 4. Now, God and God alone is the imparter of life and has chosen to impart it only through His Son, who is His Word. God has restricted Himself to impart life through Jesus Christ, who is His Word. And with this life comes light. You know, it's a wonderful thing. When I got life, I was not in darkness, but I was in light. And all of a sudden, things started to become clear to me. After a lifetime of confusion, I was in the light and I could see because I had life. And with this life comes life to illuminate, both by natural illumination of reason, which is given to the human mind, and the spiritual illumination, which is given at and after the new birth. Without this light, man cannot see or understand truth, for without this light, men walk in darkness, having no life nor light. You wonder why people do the things they do. They're walking in darkness. They bump into things. They stub their toes. They fall because they have no light. So Christ is the Word, Therefore, Christ is the life, and therefore Christ is the light. So says John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, when Jesus first spoke that, back in the days when he walked the roads of Israel, that's astounding. What an astounding claim that is, to say, I am the light of the world. I would imagine the disciples' faces fell, if they at least at all listened. But life comes with light. When life is imparted at the new birth, light comes with that new life. All the truth that man has learned from Adam until now has come from Word. And who that Word is, of course, is Jesus Christ. You know, all the light that you have came from Jesus Christ. And if you were born again, that light came with that new birth and opened up your eyes to a whole new world. For it says in the Scriptures, all things became new. All things became new. Now, John 1:5 tells us, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Another way of saying this is, and the darkness overcomes or overpowers it not. You know, darkness can't overpower light. The light cannot be captured, overwhelmed, or overpowered by the darkness. You know, a little candle can dispel a room full of darkness and not be dimmed by it. Even though it's a big room, this big room cannot overcome the light from that little candle, for the darkness has no power. We do not say, turn the darkness on. Light and darkness are opposites, but they are not equal opposites. Light is stronger than darkness. Darkness cannot prevail against it. Light is eternal. Darkness is not. You know, there's no darkness in heaven. All is light, for the Savior is there who says, I am the light of the world. Now reading 1 John 2:8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. You know, when you were born again, you came out of darkness and you came into light. The true light now shineth. If a little light shines, you cannot say, turn up the darkness in order to dim the light. The darker it gets, the little light appears to be brighter. Notice that. The darker it gets, the candle glows brighter. And this is the message of Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And Isaiah 59:19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know, we fear the future sometimes. We see our country fading. We see our country weakening. But when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, look to the Lord for your strength. Look to the Lord for your deliverance. But darkness is indeed settling on our land. We see it in so many ways. The darkness of the religious mind, the darkness of superstition, the darkness of the philosophical mind, which speculates continuously but in vain about the ultimate nature of things. You know, the thinker is always thinking about the ultimate nature of things, but he never comes to the right conclusion. Isn't that amazing? Talk about darkness. Talk about darkness just remaining in the person's mind as they think and think and think apart from the light of the Word of God. That is darkness. the darkness of the carnal mind, a mind of enmity against God, always ready to entertain hurtful and destructive lusts, the darkness of the scientific mind, whereby life is only chemistry. Have you heard that? Life is simply chemistry, and given enough time, can be reproduced. The goal of darkness is to envelop the earth so as to prevent the light from penetrating into human souls. That's the goal of Satan, is it not? To keep the earth in darkness. But that is, we're told in these verses, beyond the power of darkness. Any light at all dispels darkness, and darkness flees. What a wonderful promise that is, that light overcomes darkness all the time. Read Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You know, we walk on a path that the light shines more and more unto the perfect day. You get into this book and you faithfully study and read God's word, the light gets brighter for the day, does it not? So we see that God's light finds its way to every man in John 1:9, which says that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, true light, in contrast to fake light, means all genuine illumination proceeds from the Word of God, not the mind of man. If you want truth, don't go to the scientist. Don't go to the religious mind. Don't go to the geniuses. You go to the Word of God for truth. For all truth comes from the Word of God, not the mind of man. Whatever measure of truth men and women of all ages have known has always come from this source. You want truth? Here's truth. This is truth. Why is this truth? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, what? The truth and the life. So he's not only the word, he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And that's where the source of all that comes from, the Word of God. You know, the Word is the author of all spiritual illumination that dispels the darkness of sin and unbelief. By coming into the world, the Word provided the supreme illuminator, God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. You know, that's the solution of the world. Now, if the sinner does not see in this light, there is no other light available to him. Light is single-sourced from God. There's not many lights, only one light, single-sourced from God. And if the sinner rejects this light, there's no hope for that sinner, no other light. But unfortunately, the fool denies this, preferring the darkness of experience and discovery. Well, you can discover yourself, you can experience yourself at your last breath in the fires of hell by rejecting the light of the Word of God. Now, verse 9 includes the word lighteth, which means the Word is continually lighting every man that comes into the world. All men are lighted by means of a conscience, by means of creation, by means of reason. All these are sufficient to lead a man or woman to exercise faith in the true light. And therefore, people are without excuse, for God gives light. You know, people have said that so many times and justify rejecting the exclusivity of Jesus Christ by saying, what about the poor person in Africa, the deepest jungles in Africa? That poor person has been given light. He's been given light of creation. How to look at creation without knowing that there's a maker has to be the mind of a fool who rejects that abundance of evidence. So people are without excuse. Now, our fourth connection of the word is to the world. So to emphasize this, John in verse 10, in paraphrase form, says this, "He was in the world, but the world, although it owed its existence to him, failed nevertheless to recognize him." You know, isn't that terrible? You know, a woman bakes a pie. A woman bakes a cake. And the cake is on the table with her name on it. And someone comes up and says, "You didn't bake that pie." Or, "You didn't bake that cake." Now, does the woman say, "Oh, you're so sweet"? Boy, no. There's ire in the fire, in the eyes that come out. There's fire coming out of the woman. Who made that? But the making of that was rejected by those that partook of the wonderful taste of that meal. Now look at that from God's perspective. He came into the world and he was rejected. The Apostle Paul covers this subject clearly in his epistle to the Romans. For in Romans 1:20 he writes, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen." Clearly seen. Now, not just seen, but clearly seen. It's boldly declared to all who come into this world, being understood by the things that are made. He's understood by the things that are made. The evidence is overpowering even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has made it obvious of his existence by the things that he has made. The word and the world are connected. You know, all of us, from the dullard, don't hear that word much anymore. That's another word, one of those disappearing words. Not a positive word to call someone a dullard, but it's a good word. All of us, from the dullard to the genius, know that if something is made, there must be what? A maker. You got to have a maker. But instead of recognizing this clearly seen conclusion, those who profess themselves to be wise. My, how a lot of people do that. "Well, I've got a doctor's degree. I've got all these degrees. Therefore, I must be wise." No, no, no. Degrees do not give wisdom. They might give some knowledge, but they don't give wisdom necessarily. They show themselves as fools, as Romans 1 continues in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise. In other words, they didn't look for some standard group to declare them wise. They looked within and declared themselves wise. Be careful of that. And this, of course, leads fools to what Romans 1:28 declares, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate." Oh, what a terrible thing that is, to be given over by God. God is saying, "That man's hopeless. Give up on him. Holy Spirit, don't work on him. I've given him up." That's what it says. "To a reprobate," that means degenerate, debased, decadent mind, "to do those things which are not convenient." Now, the Bible commentator, William Van Doren, writes this, "He," and that's God, "was here by thousands of witnesses. The rains, the fruitful seasons, the nightly dew, the healthful breeze, the genial sun, that cold snap, that snow that comes down so delightful that many got up at 2 o'clock to take pictures of it, proved by their entrance into Facebook. But it was beautiful, was it not? What was it? It was a message from God. And cheerful morn, but with an infatuation utterly wild, men worshipped these gifts as God. It's like praising the pie, talking to the pie, talking to the cake. Oh, you're a wonderful cake. While the maker stands and looks and receives no praise, while the pie receives the praise and the cake receives the praise, men worship these gifts as God. Talk about fools, reprobates. And therefore, Paul in Romans 1:25 relates that these fools worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's what the world does. But from creation, He, the Word, was guiding, sustaining, and unfolding all things. You read this book and you see God's hand in all things from all time. Isaiah 49:15 compares a woman with a sucking child to a God who cares. For it says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? You women who have had a child, that child came from your own body. What a unique experience you women have that men will never have. What a gift of God to bear children for Him and to have that compassion on the son of her womb. Yet, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. All men are given to see God's infinite wisdom, wisdom seen even in the liquid supplying veins of every leaf, bud, and flower. Have you ever picked up a leaf and looked at the structure of a leaf? Just a simple leaf. What a structure. Did that just happen? Did the leaf decide to have veins that supply the parts of the leaf to live? No. Every change of season communicates God's power. Every shooting star reminds of the Creator. Every rising and falling of the sun speaks of God's provision. We then see that the divine word was in the world before that special coming into the world, that John the Baptist was the voice or the signal of. The world's response to Jesus Christ was no different to the world's response to the word in earlier ages. This is the sinful nature of man that chose to eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Knowledge. I want knowledge apart from the knowledge of Christ. The world did not respond positively to the offers of the Word or when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, for the world knew Him not, as the world also knew not the Word from the voice of nature, for the world chose not to. You know, the fool hath said in his heart, no God for me. There is no, he said, the Bible says there is no God. But the essence of it is, I choose not to have God for me. I choose to go in this direction. And God works. He works. He sends someone to witness. He sends his nature to witness. He sends his conscience to witness. And soon they go their own way, and he says, well, then go your own way. You're a reprobate without a desire for truth. John picked up on this, and I'll end here, when he wrote 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What a title that we have. All of us here in this small church, in this small town of this big world, have this title, the sons of God. What manner of love is this? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Jesus Christ, they hated me, and therefore they'll hate you. But you know that hatred is nothing to be compared to the love of God. Shoo it away. Shoo it away as worthless, because the love of God brought us to become the sons of God. And God will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we are thankful, so thankful for the Word of God. And Lord, help us not to neglect our love of the Word. Help us not to neglect and go our own way, make our own decisions, seek the world's favor, seek the world's riches, and depart from the Word of God. But help each one in this small group to declare unto themselves, oh Lord, I love you, and I want to serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.